This evening, I debated about having David read a part of this reading, and then I decided that I just let him read the whole thing. And basically, that's about half the lesson, and we'll go on from there. But thank you, David. I appreciate that very much. There is, amongst Christians these days, a destructive attitude that is found. And this attitude is that being a Christian is just engaging in certain activities. And that's it. Basically, attending the assemblies of the church and studying and praying and giving. And that's all there is to it. Well, these are necessary, yeah. But if that's the extent of our faith, we are spiritually impoverished. Because being a Christian is not just a set of activities. Being a Christian is a way of life. A way of life. Well, how can we tell if we are living wisely? Well, I think that in our reading this evening that we found some guidelines for living wisely. And we're going to take some time to look at those. First, there is the priority of the wise. In Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. Do you really know what a good name is? A good name means having a good reputation. And a good reputation is a product of character. Good name, good reputation. That is what will produce character. Now, this goes to the very heart of a person's values. A good name is too often, and we see it all around us, sacrificed for wealth, prestige, political power, just flat out, they just give it up. But notice, loving favor is something that is connected here with a good name. Loving favor is actually an attractive character or personality. We cannot be disagreeable and just roughshodded over everyone and have a good name. But we also find out that there is conduct of the wise involved. In verses 2 through 6, where David read for us just a moment ago, he says, the rich and poor have this in common. And you think, well, okay, what can the rich and the poor have in common? Well, here it is. The Lord is the maker of them all, rich or poor. But he says, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, let's look at this piece by piece and see if we can get something out of it. Conduct of the wise includes conduct towards others. In verse 2, they have this in common. Every person is a creation of God. Poor, rich, somewhere in between, makes no difference. For this reason, the wise treat all men as an image of God. That means to treat them with respect. Then he goes on and says, I want to talk to you about your conduct towards danger. What about danger? He says, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Now, prudent here means the wise can look ahead and formulate plans. Thus, they can avoid harmful evil. But look at the simple. The simple are naive. That is, irresponsible, thoughtless, and easily led astray. Sometimes naive people are blindly confident. That is, they just go headlong no matter what, without any thought for the possibility of there being a problem. But Proverbs 14:15 says that the simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. The prudent doesn't just take every word that someone says for being truth. They weigh it. They consider it. And thus they guide their steps accordingly. The fool, on the other hand, pays the price. But in verse 4, we learn about conduct toward the Lord. By humility, verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. A healthy view of the Lord really gives an accurate view of yourself. Serving the Lord in obedience with humility is really what riches are all about. It's not a matter of how many dollars you have in the bank or how much property you own. It's serving the Lord in obedience with humility. And that is true riches. But then, conduct towards sin in verse 5. He says, thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. The perverse just doesn't see things for what they are. Thorns and snares are in his way, and he just goes right on down the road, no problem. This is a careless life. This is a life described as an entanglement in the thorns of sin. And no doubt, caution is needed to avoid the path of sin. But we also learn about conduct toward children. Train a child up in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up refers to dedicating a structure. That is to start in the right direction. Do you realize, and I didn't realize this until I saw it in writing, and I guess it's pretty accurate, 85% of a person's personality is formed by age 6. 85%. This means that the way he should go in accord with his age should be taught to him very early. And his way gets developed in his intellect and his habits so that always his way is in harmony with the Lord's way. We look over at Vision 6 and 4, and we see the apostle addressing fathers. He says, "You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath." That means do not exasperate your children. How do you exasperate them? Inconsistency. If you want to exasperate your child, tell them one thing one time and another thing another time and see how they like it. That's going to exasperate them right now. You instead have a responsibility, and this is a shared responsibility, by the way, with the wife, to bring up children in the admonition of the Lord. That's what we are interested in. But more than this, we find principles for the wise in verses 7 through 12. Notice the rich rules over the poor, the borrower is servant to the lender. He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and he who has a generous eye will be blessed. Cast out the scoffering. He who loves purity of heart and has grace of lips, the king will be his friend. And finally, the eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the faithless. Let's see how the wise man teaches us to deal with borrowing. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. I don't think this is necessarily going next door and borrowing your neighbor's rake and then going to rake in your yard with it and then putting it in your garage and forgetting it. That's not what this is talking about. The borrower and the lender are two very distinct people. One has something to loan and the other one has need for it. But what happens? Well, the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender. But I would say that the wisdom in this is that much indebtedness, especially in our society, is self-imposed bondage. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't for one second believe that it's wrong to take out a loan and buy a car or take a loan and buy a house or anything. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the kind of debt we rack up when we spend without discretion, and then we can't even hardly make the minimum payment on our credit card. You know how that works out, don't you? You never pay it off. You just keep on paying on it. I think we're to use good judgment on this, and that's why we are careful not to allow ourselves to put ourselves or our families in such a position. But very closely related to this, he shifts right away to wickedness. And I don't know if there's a reason for that, but I do know that he goes right into wickedness, and he says, he who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. You know, this business of reaping and sowing has always been a lesson that God wants us to learn. Adam and Eve reaped what they sowed. And so it has been in every generation since. Reap and sow. But too often we seem to think, well, you know, I don't think God's going to really want this. Not that bad. And I think that I can go ahead and do this. And I don't think it'll cause any problem. But we forget, God is not mocked. Don't be deceived, Galatians 6 and verse 7. What does that mean? Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. That's it. I'll never get out of my mind the preacher I heard one time who was talking about sowing and reaping. And he says, too many young people go out and sow their wild oats on Saturday night and then come to church Sunday morning and pray for crop failure. And that's right. That's right. They think they can get away with it. No, they can't. You're going to have to give an account to God someday. But look at verse 8. He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. Doesn't matter how mad he gets, he'll fail. Period. But wise man deals with generosity. Generosity is, I think he calls it a generous eye. A generous eye. He gives of his bread to the poor. As a wise person, you don't always think, I've got to keep this close by here so nobody knows I've got this, because somebody might come along that needs it. No. You look and you see, hey, here, this fellow here, he needs something. And I've got it. And you know what? I can give it to him. And I will give it to him. That is the man with a generous eye. He gives his bread to the poor. And, well, he should. But then we are told how the wise are to deal with troublemakers. Oh. How do you deal with troublemakers? Cast out the scoffer, and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. Sometimes, that's the only way you can take care of things. Sometimes that's the only way you can take care of it. Cast out the scoffer, and contention will leave. And this principle is seen being practiced in the church. fact, over in Romans 16, the latter part of the chapter, he talks about that very thing. You got a man who causes contention. What do? You put him out. You don't let him stay there, keep causing problems. And believe it or not, strife and reproach will cease. Keep your distance and try to avoid the scorner, because he's not going to give you anything good. No doubt about it. But those who would behave wisely must also behave with integrity. He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. Now, what does he mean here? Purity of heart is loved by this person. This is the kind of person who not only has good things to say in keeping with grace, but he loves purity of heart. He is a man who loves truth. And he overthrows the words of the faithless. Why? Because the eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge. That's why. His speech accurately reflects his character. God truly guards the truth by overthrowing all folly. He does that. And that is something that we need to do. We should have integrity. You know, integrity is that degree of honesty that no matter whether anybody knows or whether anybody cares, we're going to do something because it's right. And that's integrity. And not everybody is that way, unfortunately. But finally, there are warnings for the wise. Verses 13 through 16, let's look at those. The lazy man says, "There's a lion outside, I'll be slain in the streets." The mouth of an immoral woman is a deep pit. He who is abhorred by the Lord will fall there. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. He oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he who gives to the rich will surely come to poverty. Now, there's a lot in that. I want to give time to each one. First one is laziness. This is the one who makes ridiculous excuses. "There's a lion outside." Well, that may be so. But chances are pretty good that he's not after you. And you're merely using it as an excuse. And you know, Paul dealt with laziness when he wrote to the church in Thessalonica. You remember that? 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10. I put first there. I meant to put second. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10. Paul says, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." "Oh, but I couldn't go out and work for food because there's a lion in the road." No, that doesn't work. doesn't work, that's just an excuse for laziness. And notice how the wise are also warned against adultery. Notice he uses lured by her words in verse 14. And the painful result is what? The adulterer will be cursed. You know, I've heard people say, and they even build a whole doctrine around it, that people who aren't Christians are not amenable to God's law on marriage and divorce. And so, what you do with regard to divorce and remarriage prior to becoming a Christian doesn't count. And then I read Hebrews 13 and verse 4 that says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. It is a perversion of God's order and totally unacceptable before God. But he also warns against failure to discipline. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him. I want you to turn over to Proverbs 29:15 for a moment. Proverbs 29:15. Look at that. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Now, what is that telling you? That the rod of correction needs to be used. And it needs to be used to the point where it drives foolishness from the heart of a child. You leave out the rod, leave out the rebuke, and the child being left to himself will bring shame. That's pretty strong situation, but one that we must heed nonetheless. And finally, he writes about oppressing the poor, bribing the rich. He who oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he who gives to the rich will surely come to poverty. We all have seen this, I'm sure. If not in reality, and at least in some TV show where they pretended to have truth. Pretended. But what happens? Well, you've got people living in homes that they can afford, and they can pay the utilities and pay the rent and so forth. And then somebody rich comes along and says, we want all this property. We're going to build great big condos. And sorry about these folks, they're just out. And that's how the rich are. They oppress the poor to increase their riches. And notice, he who gives to the rich, that is trying to bribe his way along, just comes to poverty. But this illustrates what evil courses rich men sometimes take. But in the end, they will be impoverished themselves by provoking God. And we get that from the context. Now, if we would be wise, we will surely give heed to these thoughts. But keep in mind what we read in Proverbs 9 and verse 10. Proverbs 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That's where we began. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who fear God and do His will are pleasing in His sight. There's no two ways about it. And so, let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter. What is it all about? Well, Ecclesiastes 12 and 13 tells us, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. This is what it's all about. May God give us the courage to stand in wisdom and to do His will and to do everything in our power to bring others to the cause of Christ before it is eternally too late. Time keeps going by and people keep passing from this life, but how many of them are we saving? We better think about that and better do everything in our power to bring salvation to them.